Let's head to Washington, D.C. Congressman Bill Flores joins us this morning. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott. Disappointed in our Yankee baseball team, but
yeah,
other than that, doing.
We were doing a story about 15 minutes ago about what was the first car that you had. Do you remember what your first car was?
Oh, absolutely. It was a green 1971 Chevrolet Impala.
Okay. We were discussing how it's changed as time's gone. Well, and also that sometimes there are kids who are not in nearly the rush they used to be to get a driver license like we were, I think. That was a big deal for us.
Oh, it was. I started driving when I was about 11. And then I remember that the driver's license age used to be 14. And right before I hit 14, they changed it to 16. And, boy, I was one disappointed fella.
Yeah,
they didn't stop me. I kept driving anyway because I had to do it to work.
Yeah, not happy about that. But anyway, times change. Hey, let's talk about legislatively before we dive into the whole thing about the president and the FBI directors. What do we got congressionally that we need to look at this week?
Well, this is police week, and so the bulk of what we're doing on the floor of the House has to do with trying to give our local law enforcement the tools they need and the recognition that they deserve when they're doing their work. For instance, one of the bills that we're going to pass is the Rapid DNA Act of 2017, and it allows rapid DNA analysis machines to be used at local police stations so that we can identify a suspect within hours as opposed to days or weeks when the evidence is shipped off to a lab. You know, these things have gotten cheaper and faster and more efficient, so we're providing the ability to do that. Also, one of the things, we're changing the flag code so that if a local jurisdiction loses a police officer or a first responder, they can lower the flags to half mast. I didn't realize the flag code had some sort of a problem that dealing with that, so we've got that. And several other things we passed yesterday, the Probation Officer Protection Act, that allows probation officers to arrest people who have assaulted them and or threatened them, and so that's, I didn't realize they couldn't do that either. So that those are the types of things we're doing.
Well, and that answers the question, because I've had a few people say, why are the flags at half mast this week? And a lot of it has to do with this being police officers week. All right, let's turn our attention. All the conversation seems to be, it started, of course, with the firing of Director Comey, and now everything that has happened since then, memos are starting to leak. Try to give us a sense of what's going on in D.C. and what are they talking about in the hallways.
Well, it's really interesting. The House members that I deal with, we're trying to get our job done and put together and pass legislation to deal with the challenges that the country faces. But every time I bump into somebody from the media, all they want to do is ask me about Comey or the Russians or something like that. So almost like there's two different worlds. Most of us have given up on trying to look at the Washington Post as being a credible news source. And of course, they're the ones that leaked the what turned out to be false information about the firing of Comey last week, and now they're the ones that are leaking information regarding the conversations between President Trump and the Russian foreign minister. The accounts of that meeting from the folks that were in the room are much different than what the leaker told the Washington Post or what the Washington Post is reporting what the leaker said. So, I'm hopeful that over the next couple of days we can get to the bottom of this and find out what the facts are. We have, on our side of the aisle in the House, we have requested that the Comey memos, the alleged Comey memo about his meeting with Trump regarding Flynn be sent to us so that we can see what the exact details of that meeting were. Because that's another leaked source published by the New York Times, and their track record has not been all that shiny lately in terms of having verified news.
Congressman Bill Flores joining us from Washington. I guess speak to the other portion of this, and that is, okay, the information that the president gave the Russians had come from another source who had not given him permission to share it. So what does this do as far as us being able to have back-channel communications with other countries, who other countries don't want to talk to us, thinking that we might be spreading their secrets around to third parties?
Well, let me say this. In the intelligence world, there are really three things that are important. One is the intelligence data, the intelligence report. The second thing are the sources, and the third thing are the methods. And so in terms of what the president did in sharing intelligence data, if he, to the extent that he did, he's entitled to do that. And the president has broad authority to declassify or share intelligence data to the extent that, that he deems is appropriate for national security. So he's perfectly within his rights to do that as commander-in-chief. Now, what you don't want to give away are the sources and methods, and he did not disclose those. So we as lay people in the country really don't know who the sources were. I mean, now the sources are reported to be Israel and so forth, but nobody really knows that. So as long as he didn't disclose sources and methods, and there's nothing that, to prove that he did, then I don't think that our foreign friends have anything to worry about.
Well, and you're saying exactly the same thing that Rush said yesterday. The president is the be-all and end-all when it comes to what is going to be classified and what's not. If he chooses to share information, that's his decision, and he has the right to do that as being commander-in-chief, I guess.
Correct. Under the intelligence laws of the country, the White House has the ultimate authority to determine what's classified and what's not. And so to the extent that he elected to share intelligence data, not sources and methods, but intelligence data, he has the authority to do so.
How much
now,
of this, go ahead.
You know, we can question whether or not that's smart or not, but since I don't know what data was shared, I can't say if it's smart or not. I'm hoping that we find out again in the next few days.
How much of this is an administration who really is inexperienced when it comes to the ways of Washington? He's doing it maybe in the ways of business, which is not necessarily always the way Washington does things.
Well, and that's really the challenge. And, of course, you've got a hyperactive media around this city that tries to report things in the most negative possible light that they can. And so that's, I guess that's what the challenge is. What I'm hoping will happen is that the White House team will become much more skilled in two things. A, what information what the president does in his discussions with other people, particularly foreign leaders. And then secondly, that the after-action reports that they provide to the public, to the press and to the public, are A, quicker, and B, that they are more fulsome, more comprehensive in terms of what was discussed. Because right now, you know, every now and then they'll have one of these Keystone Cop moments. You can think about the first refugee order that was rolled out. That was kind of a mess.
Mm-hmm.
The policy was right, but the after action was a mess. And then the Comey firing, again, that was not, I mean, the president appropriately fired the FBI director. We all support that. Democrats support that. Republicans support it. Because it got to the point where nobody trusted Comey anymore. But the after-action reporting was terrible. And it's because, you know, you had Sean Spicer hiding behind the shrubs at the White House. They were trying to figure out what they were going to say. What it would have been better is you called up. Look, I'm not trying to criticize after the fact. It's easy to armchair quarterback these things. But it seemed to me like it would have been better. Call Director Comey in, say, Director Comey, you're fired. You need to go find other opportunities, and then you have a comprehensive statement to give to the press, to the American public after it's done, and it gives the whatever the president elects to disclose about it. That would certainly have cleared up a lot of the intrigue that's been raised by the press following that action. Well, yesterday, I don't think there was anything the president could have done about the alleged leaks because it's coming from an anonymous source from a publication that has a tendency to step on their tongue when it comes to publishing false data.
Yep. Well, they need to stop the bleeding. Finally, I know that one of the things that's really great about your job is that you have an opportunity to have young men and young women be able to go to the service academies. I think we've got some news on that front, do we not?
That's correct. We've had, I'll tell you what, we had a great crop of applicants to the service academies this year, and we've had six from District 17 that have been accepted so far, and I expect another one in the next day or two. Three of these are from the Brazos Valley. J.T. Fletcher from Bryan was accepted to West Point. Weston Graves from College Station was accepted to West Point. Actually, he's over in Korea with his parents right now. And then Matthew Ransom from Caldwell was accepted to the Naval Academy. So three of our country's best and brightest young men and women that are currently high school seniors are going to be going to service academies next fall, and we wish them the best, and we know that they'll be great leaders for our country moving forward.
Congressman Bill Flores joins us most every Wednesday. You can hear the entire interview archived on the website at WTAW.com. As always, we appreciate the time this morning.
Great visiting with you. I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for our country, our military, and particularly this week, let's pray for our police and first responders.
Absolutely.